Well, it's a good to again be in your midst this evening, and I thought of one of the things that I'd kind of like to speak upon tonight, and it's centered around the great heritage that you and I have of being privileged to live in the United States of America, in a land that is a promised land, even a choice land before the Lord. And I'd like to bring to our attention a few scriptures that point to this tonight. And I realize that even North and South America really are part of the promised land. But more specifically, we'll find that certain references I bring out tonight point to the United States and the responsibility of the Gentiles upon this nation. And I would like to read from the Book of Ether on page 717 in the Book of Mormon, in verses 31 through 35. And I'd like us to pay particular attention to this, because really, we do have a great heritage to be a part of Joseph's land. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And this is one of the everlasting decrees of God. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. And I want us to note these various portions as I would read through. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God, or he shall be swept off, for it is the everlasting decree of God. And it is not unto the fullness of iniquity among the children of men that they are swept off. And once oft times wonder just how complete even the iniquity of this nation has to be before many things happen to it. And yet I believe maybe because of certain ones who would attempt to serve God, maybe even things, certain things could be withheld. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles. Now I really believe that's referring to our nation specifically now, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquity until the fullness come. So much of this does refer to this nation. That ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land hath hitherto done. And we are all well aware of the Book of Mormon story. We're well aware of the Book of Ether. The people who, of whom this is a record, the Book of Ether, came from the Tower of Babel. And they came to this country about 2,200 years before Christ, to this very chosen land. They came somewhere to the American continents. Now, I'm not trying to say exactly where they landed, but they came here. But this nation become, or the Jaredites I'm talking about, become ripe in iniquity. They become drunken with hatred toward the end, wherein they destroyed one another, and finally only one soul was left, and he was able to make contact with some that come in the year of when Lehi and Nephi came, about 600 BC. They left Jerusalem, and then of course they were 8 years in the wilderness. before they came to this nation, but some of those people contacted the last remaining Jaredite. And they were swept off because of their iniquity. And we know what happened to the Nephites after Christ was here upon this continent, and for a number of years they had a marvelous condition of righteousness upon the face and breadth of the land. And then pride entered in, and they began to stumble. They began to follow iniquity. And as a result, they too were swept off by their brethren, the Lamanites, or else they joined with them. They lost their identity, even though there are still some left, but they still lost their identity. And it said here, as the inhabitants of the land hath hitherto done, behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity, and I want you to note this, and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who hath been manifested by the things which we have written. And I want us to kind of keep these things in mind, and I'm going to reread a bit of that a little later. But I want to speak a little more about this very choice land, this promised land. In the book of Genesis, the 49th chapter, and this is found in verses 22 through 26. And it speaks of this as Joseph's land, and this would be the North and South American continents. And it says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Now, a fruitful bough by a well, the well would be a source of water to it, see, or strength. And it talks about the branches running over the wall, and there is scriptures that point to the fact that sometimes the ocean is even referred to as a wall. And in those days, the ocean was quite an obstacle. A lot more than it is today. Today we can fly over it if we can't go across it, see. But then they didn't do that, and they had to cross it, and so it was as a wall. And it says, the branches of Joseph run over the wall. And then it gives a little information about Joseph. And it says, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. And this might need a little explanation. If we go back in the early life of Joseph, we would find that his own brethren kind of hated him. They didn't like him too good. And why? Because Joseph was one who had had some dreams. And in one dream, he saw his sheath stand up, and the sheaths of all the rest of his brethren were laid down, given obedience to him. And when he told them the dream, they didn't like that very much, to have their younger brother making a statement like this. They didn't like it. And different things came along, and Joseph was highly favored of his father too. And he always walked a goodly, God-fearing life. In fact, if you'll just search a scripture, you never find any flaw on his character. He was an exceptional, unusual person. Anyway, they didn't like what Joseph was doing, and so they set out, some of them, to slay him. And I believe Reuben kind of talked him out of it, one of the brothers, and talked him into throwing him down in a pit instead. And then he thought, I'll come back and get him out and take him back to my father when it's done. But while they was eating their dinner, a bunch of Ishmaelites, and it's also said Midianites, came by, camel men. They was taking stuff to Egypt. So they got the idea they'd just sell Joseph to this bunch of camel people. And that's what he has done. He was taken out of the pit. He was sold to these people. And again, he was sold into Egypt. And so he become a part of that life, separated from his brethren. So this is an important clue at this time. Joseph land also was separate from the other lands. It was separated by oceans on both sides of it. Whereas you take Europe and Africa and a lot of those nations were connected in a way, you know, and in fact about all those were over there, the great nations, and they were connected. But it says, even though they shot at him and hated him, and his brethren hated him, it says, his bow abode in strength. And how did it abode in strength? The arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. So that's why Joseph could stand so tall and strong in the service of the Lord. And let's skip on down into verse 25. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, and it says, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above. That's at Joseph's land and all of this, and Joseph too. Blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father hath prevailed above the blessing of my progenitors or ancestors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. And so on this continent, in the South American continent, there are everlasting hills. They shall be upon the head of Joseph, and notice this blessing was upon the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Even as he was separated from his brethren and sold into Egypt, even his land was separated from that land and was another land. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter, and read from the 13th through the 17th verses. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land. And notice what Joseph's land is like. For the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun. And when you even analyze the United States of America, it has been a rich agricultural land. It has produced so many things. And for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and as I already mentioned, there is a chain of mountains that stretches through North and South America, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, the metals and all these things, and for the precious things of the earth and the fullness of it thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, this was Joseph, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Similar language to what I brought out earlier. Now, the earlier one was a blessing that Jacob pronounced. And if we notice here, I believe this is down at the times of Moses and these. Moses commanded us, even the law up here it says. And so it was at a different time, considerably later. But it's still a blessing upon these 12 are the sons of Joseph, or Jacob rather. And for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, in verse 16, and for the goodwill of him that dwelled in the bush. And I guess I read that. In other words, these things come upon the head of Joseph, he who was separated from his brethren. And then it says his glory is like the firstling of his bullocks, and his horns like the horns of unicorns. And with them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And so there was a special blessing upon Joseph. He had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And now they enter the picture. And they are the tens of thousands of Ephraim And they are the thousands of Manasseh. And we know the Indian peoples are the lineage of Manasseh. And it goes back to Joseph. And then there it says are tens of thousands of Ephraim. And so this would indicate there is many more of Ephraim on this earth than they are of even the Indian peoples. And so they will play a significant part. Some feel they are the English-speaking people. Some feel that the way it's worded in there in the Bible concerning Joseph, or Joseph Smith more specifically, the one that translated it, it says that this would be in the hand of Ephraim, this book. See, the Book of Mormon in this. And it mentions that. But again, far as us really knowing where all Ephraim is, I wouldn't even attempt to say I know, even though many feel it could be a lot of the English-speaking people. But again, it's hard to really say that this is total the way it is, even, see. But the one fact there that it did say it would be in the hands of Ephraim indicates that it might be this way. But you might find a difference of opinion on that. Anyway, now I would like to turn back to the book of Ether and read the 29th, the first chapter, and read the 29th and 30th verses on page 717. And we might give a little of the background to this. When the confusion of languages come in, when they start to build that tower to heaven, and the Lord said, let us go down and confound their tongue and scatter them upon the face and breadth of this earth, Jared asked his brother to cry or pray unto the Lord that he wouldn't confound their language. And the Lord did not confound the language of Jared and his brother and their families and their friends. They spoke the original tongue. And then Jared said to his brother, cry unto him that perhaps maybe he might lead us, even maybe to a choice land, and if so, we'll keep his commandments there. And so the brother of Jared did cry unto the Lord. And we find in all this, so they went across a body of water, which was a sea, and went through a wilderness, and then they came to what would have been the Atlantic Ocean. And then it says in verse 29, and the Lord would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but he would that they should come forth even unto the land of promise. And that would have been across the waters, even across that wall that later was Joseph's land. Now this predates even Joseph, see. But this is the land that was that choice land. Should come forth into the land of promise, which was choice above all other lands, which the Lord God had preserved for a righteous people. And this land was preserved for a righteous people. And he had sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared, that whoso should possess this land of promise, from that time henceforth and forever, should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. So this is a rather plain statement, is it not? Now I would like to take another little related piece of information. And this is found on page 34 of your Book of Mormon, if you'd like to have the page number instead of the book. And this is found in verses, well, let's read 147 through 155. And so in this rather marvelous vision, he says, and I looked and beheld a man among the Gentiles who was separated from the seed of my brethren. And he was separated by the ocean, by the many waters. And I beheld the Spirit of God, and it came down and wrought upon the man. And he went forth upon the many waters, even into the seed of my brethren, who are the Indian peoples, who were in the promised land. And this, incidentally, would have been Columbus. And it says promised land. So really, the promised land does take in a bit more than just the United States. And that's what I've said, see. It would, now I don't know, Columbus landed farther south than this. But again, a lot of the specific references is to this nation when it says this, that the Gentiles might repent. Well, let's read on here. And it came to pass that I beheld a spirit of God that it wrought upon other Gentiles. These would have been our pilgrim fathers and the Puritans and others of this nature. And they went forth out of captivity. It explains it. That would have been religious captivity upon the many waters. And it came to pass that I beheld many multitudes of the Gentiles upon the land of promise. Now this land that they specifically came to mainly was land that later became the United States. It's true, some also went to Canada. And I beheld the wrath of God that it was upon the seed of my brethren, the Indian peoples, in other words. And they were scattered before the Gentiles and were smitten. And in the early days of this nation, the Indians were smitten. And I beheld the Spirit of the Lord that it was upon the Gentiles, and they did prosper and obtained the land for their inheritance. And I beheld that they were white and exceeding fair and beautiful, like unto my people before they were slain. And that would have been the Nephites. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles who had gone forth out of captivity did humble themselves before the Lord. This to me is one of your more beautiful readings in the Book of Mormon. And the power of the Lord was with them. And we know that our early forefathers, that the power of the Lord was with them. When they founded this nation, they founded it with the help of God. And then, note this, in 153, and I beheld their mother Gentiles. And you know who that was? England. Were gathered together upon the waters and upon the land also to battle against them. And I beheld that the power of God was with them. And also the wrath of God was upon all those who were gathered together against them to battle. And that would even be other nations that were with England. And I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles that had gone forth out of captivity, this is the pilgrims and the Puritans and others who came forth, were delivered by the power of God out of the hands of all other nations. And that's why tonight I chose to speak about the heritage that you and I have. It is a tremendous, wonderful, beautiful heritage. We must not ever take it lightly, even for a moment, because what a blessing it has been to have been privileged to be a part of this nation. And I'm not trying to downgrade all the rest of the earth, but all we have to do is read history and we can see the blessings that have been a part of this nation. We don't want to forget it. The majority of electricity used on this earth is used here, and of course a few other nations like Europe and Japan have it too. But a lot of the earth don't have all the nice things of life. More cars are upon the face of this land than any other land upon the face of the earth. I don't know whether that's really a blessing or a cursing sometime, but it is a fact, whichever way it is, see. And it's nice to have wheels, we got to admit, you know. It'd be a lot slower if we all walked to where we were going. And of course, the way we're scattered in this nation, it's a big nation. Take a lot of walking. Anyway, we have been a blessed nation. And we note here that these people were delivered by the power of God. So that is our heritage, and we don't want to forget it. And that's why over here, and that's why I said I wanted to go back to this reading in the Book of Ether again on page 717. This is found in verse 35. I already read it. Maybe 34. And I believe that's us, this nation. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent. They wanted this nation to know what their responsibility is to God, what their responsibility is to their self and to their fellow man, and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you as the inhabitants of the land have hitherto done. And so the inhabitants of the land already did that. Two peoples, specifically, the Nephites and the Jaredites. Well, I intend to also touch upon another group of people here too tonight that had this happen. And that's the ones that died at the crucifixion of Christ. And I believe it's a part of this as well. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage. Now, is that a blessing or is it not? And since the Declaration of Independence, we have not been in bondage to any nation. Over 200 years, 209 as a matter of fact. A long time, lest we give. And it says, and from captivity, and from all in their nations under heaven. But look what the requirement is. If they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. That is a responsibility. Who hath been manifested by the things which we have written. So those things have been written of this great promise. I would like to turn to the book of John and read a bit further here from the 12th chapter and verses 46 through 48. And show the responsibility of Jesus Christ. And it ties with this, because some of these people walked in darkness, and that's why they swept off the land. And so with that thought, I would like to read 46. Jesus Christ was not a man of darkness, but one of light. I am come a light into the world, so he spake. And whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So these people were swept off of the face of this land because they failed to abide in Jesus Christ, the light of this world. They chose to walk in darkness. That's why I chose this verse tonight. And if any man hear my words and believe not, Jesus Christ said, I judge him not. And if I just stop there, that would sound like a strange statement. But before I finish reading, it will not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That was his primary purpose. But note here in the next verse, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. And it is important that we receive the words of Jesus Christ and keep them. And he says, they hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at the last, or in the last day. So we must not forget that. The words of Jesus Christ will judge each one of us at the last day. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus, in all of this, is the way. And now let us think again concerning the decrees of God concerning this land, that all peoples must serve him or be swept off. And I'd like to turn to page 624 in this book, and go over some of the events that took place at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Because there was a great and terrible destruction upon this land. It was prophesied before it took place. All things before they take place are prophesied. There is a scripture in Amos, and I believe it's Amos 3:7, which says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets." And so he revealed his secrets to his servant, the prophet, even one Samuel the Lamanite. And he told the people what would take place at the crucifixion. Before that, he told them what would take place at the birth of Christ. But this is already history at the time this chapter takes place. And he told them what would take place. He told them that there would be 3 days of darkness, total, complete darkness on this land. He spoke of things that would happen during that 3 days of darkness. And why did they happen? Because of the iniquity of many peoples, it happened. That's why I chose to bring this out tonight. And this happened in the 34th year. In the first month, on the fourth day, and in verse 6 it says, "There arose a great storm, such as one as never had been known in all the land." Now really, I think we've all went through some pretty good storms. But this said, such a storm as had never been known. I think it was at the preceding the first Missouri reunion that we had at Warrensburg. I was, the evening before and day before, I was in the Kansas City area. And it began raining. And during that day it must have rained about 4 inches. And before the night ended, another 11 fell there. 15 inches total rain in the Kansas City area. And I watched that storm that night from the Smith home in Kansas City, right on the border of Independence. And I watched the lightning light up the whole atmosphere. I heard the thunder. It was indeed quite a storm. It dumped torrents of water. There's been some other quite significant storms this year. One hit Cheyenne, Wyoming, and maybe you read about it. In a matter of hours, 6 inches of rain fell and 6 inches of hail with it too. And the destruction was devastating. A few years ago in Colorado, in one of our canyons there called the Big Thompson Canyon, they said between 12 and 15 inches of rain fell there in about 4 or 5 hours. It's hard to imagine that much, and the devastation was terrible. I just bring this in. But I believe this storm exceeded all that. It said such a storm has had never been. And the reason those storms took place, I read this year, is because when you have thunderstorms go over, as long as they're moving, they go on past, even though they might drop hail and cause a lot of damage. But the one at Cheyenne, the one at Big Thompson Canyon, the one that happened a number of years ago in the Black Hills, this storm just stopped moving and dumped rain and dumped it. It's hard to imagine that much falling. We had one place in Colorado this year, in El Paso County, where it said they got 2 inches in 15 minutes. That's a lot. That's quick, see. But I want to show you what happens. And it said this is such a storm as it never happened. And there was also a great and a terrible tempest. And there was terrible thunder, insomuch that it had shaken the whole earth. We haven't had that happen, but that's what happened. As if it was about to divide asunder. And there were exceeding sharp lightnings, such as never had been known in all the land. Never had been known. And so that which I watched that evening and that night in Kansas City must not have been too much, even though it was spectacular compared to this. And then it told of the various cities that did take fire, and whole cities were destroyed because of it. And even mountains raised up and covered others. And even mountains become level places, and the earth did shake. Samuel the Lamanite prophesied of that. And I want to turn to that before we finish reading. If you want to keep your place there, why, it's fine. This is found in verses 77 through 79. And I just want to show what this prophet told about this. He told about the time when Christ would yield up the ghost. There should be thunderings and lightnings for the space of many hours, and the earth shall shake and tremble, and the rocks. Now, I want you to notice this. And the rocks which are upon the face of the earth, which are both above the earth and beneath the earth. Now, what is that talking about? I believe we got ground out here like this. And I believe the mountains are above and the others beneath. That's the way I'd explain this. Which you know at this time is solid. And I want you to notice that. There was a day when those rocks beneath and these mountains were solid, or the more part of it was one solid mass. Now just imagine at one time that this is the way our gigantic mountains were and the earth beneath. And it says it shall be broken up. Can you imagine what it took to break up a mountain of solid rock, or which was for the more part one solid piece? Yea, they shall be rent in twain, and shall ever after be found in seams and in cracks and in broken fragments upon the face of the whole earth. And that's more specifically the American continents, because this didn't happen in Europe like this, I don't believe, but it happened here. Yea, both above the earth and beneath. And behold, there shall be great tempests, and there shall be many mountains laid low like unto a valley, and there shall be many places which are now called valleys, which shall become mountains, whose height thereof is great. And I just thought that would be interesting to read what this prophet of old said would happen. And now it's taking place here, literally taking place. Now, to any of you who have traveled the Colorado Mountains and other mountainous countries, but the reason I reference Colorado is because there's more mountains than anywhere else in the connected United States. That's why. And I might even have a little preference for it along the way anyway, you know. Maybe prejudice for it, having lived there most of my life. But still, in all this, you travel through some of those canyons, like Glenwood Canyon, and it's a great, huge canyon. And it looks like rockwork. It looks like brickwork laid there. You see, it's all fractured. It just looked like somebody laid the whole canyon walls. And there they are, broken fragments and seams. And you make cuts through some of these mountains, and then it shows the land beneath. And the ground, which was once like this, the seams go up on angles like this, and they're fractured, and there are all kinds of ways. It's hard to believe how that is. All you have to do is travel on one of the highways there, and they left some of it for you to look at on Interstate 70, just barely west of Denver. And you can look at this cut and see what it was, a part of this mountain. And then the ground beneath is that way. Of the devastation that took place. And there were tempests. And this all happened mostly in the space of 3 hours, if you can imagine that. Some said it was a little longer. And it told in verse 15, it says, and behold, the rocks were rent in twain. Yea, they were broken up upon the face of the whole earth, insomuch that they were found in broken fragments and in seams and in cracks upon all the face of the land. And it said there was a terrible destruction in the land southward. That would probably be South America, maybe Mexico, or at least South America. But it said in the land northward, and you and I live on a part of that land, there was what? It says here, if I can find it, a more great and terrible destruction in the land northward. In verse 10, I found that. For behold, the whole face of the land was changed. So we really don't know what it looked like before Christ, do we? The whole face of this land was changed. because of the tempests and the whirlwinds and the thunderings and the lightnings and the exceeding great quaking of the whole earth. And so that's what took place. And I wanted us to realize that, and a great destruction took place along with it. And then we find that all this quit. And the people began to cry and howl, and it was the darkness over the face of this land. It says the darkness was so thick you could feel it. Well, with all that water, I dare say that you could feel it. And so it was over the face of this land. And they couldn't even light a fire. And it was dark. And you know, some of you has had the privilege of going down in some of the caves in this area and having shut off the light. You can't even see your hand in front of your face, can you? You've had that. I've been in there. You know what it's like. You can't even see it. And so this is the way it was. And during this time, a voice came to this people. The voice of Jesus Christ, reaching out his hand to this people. And he told them how he destroyed many of these cities because of their iniquities, some because of their secret abominations. But in all this, we find the great compassionate love of Jesus Christ reaching out for this people in his mercy as he reaches out for us today. How oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens, and ye would not. How oft will I still gather you if you will repent and come unto me? But if you don't do that, it will be this way until the covenants are fulfilled that were made to your fathers. And there's some great and marvelous things yet ahead for the house of Israel, for the Indian peoples who are part of the house of Israel, if they will but come unto Jesus Christ, who we are told is the God of this land, if they will but do that. And according to prophecy in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, one day these people will come unto Christ. One day, even the Indian peoples, through their belief, and it says many generations will not pass away, say there shall be a white and a delightsome people. It also says of a time when the Jews shall be a delightsome people, but will be on the conditions of repentance and serving God and Jesus Christ and keeping their commandments. That is the conditions it will be upon. And so is it any wonder in the book of Ether it gives an admonishment to the people who possess this land. O ye Gentiles, they were told these things, that they might not continue in their iniquity until the fullness of the wrath of God comes. Yes, for closing, let's just reread that beautiful statement in Ether 135 concerning our heritage. This is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who hath been manifested by the things which we have written. And so really, we do have a marvelous, wonderful heritage. But let us not forget it. Let us become more instant in keeping the commandments of Jesus Christ. Let's reach out our hand to them. And you can find the commandments of Jesus Christ, like in the Sermon on the Mount. You can find them throughout Matthew and Luke and John, Mark. You can find them in the Book of Mormon, specifically if you'll read in 3rd Nephi, the 5th through the 12th chapters, a lengthy reading. But I would suggest you take time to study this beautiful, lengthy reading, because it shows that when Christ dealt with the people here and their responsibility and a promise concerning in 3 Nephi, the 12th chapter, and about the first 5 verses, And he says 100 part of the things that Jesus spoke were not written in what we have. But the more part are upon the plates of Nephi. But he says, I will give the people first this to try them. And if they keep my commandments and follow me, putting in my words, then will these greater things be revealed unto them. But if they don't, the greater things will not be revealed. So there's some marvelous things ahead. And so how fortunate a people we are to have this knowledge. So let's use it. Let us study these scriptures and point ourselves to these greater things. Shall we close with 223? Shall we rise? Father, as we come to the close of this service, we'd indeed be thankful for the time spent before Thee this night. We thank Thee for the wonderful scriptures that have been ours. We thank Thee for being able to live on this land. We pray that we might remember these words this night, and that we might search the scriptures, the way of life that Thou would have us to go. that we might more intently keep thy commandments, and as a result, that greater things might be made manifest. I pray that we might increase in faith, that there might be even a greater degree of the gifts of the Spirit poured out within our midst. Help us in our desire to serve thee, and as we would go our various ways, watch over us. And even as I leave on the morrow, I pray that thou will watch over me in my journey and be with each one here as well in their several walks of life, and watch over them and support them in their trials and in their troubles and even in their afflictions, that truly that promise might be theirs to be lifted up at the last day. Be with the homes that are in distress, the families that have problems to bear. Sustain them. And I pray that thou might reach out thine hand unto those who are discouraged or distressed in any way. I pray that thou will bless this local, that it might go forward, and that thou would help them in their every need. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.